more wine. Oh.
The Lord did it. Hallelujah. Great to see you all. First of all, Beryl and I, we would like to thank you indeed for your prayer support, for your financial support, for your love for us over all these years. Time goes fast for each one of us. Every day is one day. And we enjoyed very much the glorious Manchester sunshine. The Mancunian sunshine, the Salford sunshine. We just came back from the Lake District because Beryl's family lives there. And we had a wonderful time there. Now, just one day more. We need to prepare tomorrow. And then Tuesday, we will... You can say that? Hit the road again?
Yes.
I've never said that before. By the way, for those who don't know that, I come from Haarlem in Holland. The town of Corrie ten Boom. I don't know if you've ever read a book by Corrie ten Boom. Yeah, she was a wonderful servant of the Lord. And she was christened in the same church, and she's preached in the same church as I was when I was saved. And then I came in 1961. That is 50 years ago. I came to Salford. And the same year we got married, that means that this year, Beryl and I, are 50 years in holy wedlock. Do you say that? Hallelujah. 50 years. 50 short years. Go so fast. That was the 23rd of December, a very cold day. Never get married the 23rd of December. It's not a good idea. Never a good idea. So, the Lord gave me a message for you this morning. And yesterday, I had a conversation with one of the Christian friends we have in France, a girl who lives there. I mean, it's a girl, she's 52 years old. And Nadege is her name, and I spoke to her a little bit what I was going to give you this morning. And she said, I would like to have it in French, so I'll give it in French. It corresponds to her needs and perhaps to some of the needs here. Now, this morning I took some pictures of the assembly of the building outside, a little bit inside, and I took one or two pictures of the songs she was singing. And why did I do that? Because it was the Lord gave me a clin d'œil. I don't know how to translate it in French. It means when you agree with somebody, you do just like that. And the Lord showed me what I'm going to give you. He is in agreement. He loves what I'm going to say to you. And he likes that you listen to it. And we sung the song, Hide me now under your wings, cover me within your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. And that sentence, that touched me, made me cry this morning, because that's my message for you. You can soar with God above the storm. Do you believe it? I know some of you have gone through deep waters, through difficulties, and the Lord gave me that message for you. And so, the title, I think it's good to know what you're aiming at. And this is the title of my message, How to be Victorious Over Adversity. How to be victorious over adversity. Subtitle, right attitudes lead to a higher altitude. I like that kind. Right attitudes, and there are many, we have to choose, of course. Right attitudes lead to higher altitudes in the sense of greater spiritual maturity. The Lord wants that we make progress and that we become more and more like Jesus. Now, there is a verse in God's Word, and when I was just saved in 1958, it was the 9th of November, on a Sunday evening about 9:30. After that, immediately, the leader of the group suggested that we would learn verses by heart. And there were four kind of medicines for God's Word. And was from the Navigator's course. I don't know if you're Navigators, but one of them was John 16:33. I think I learned that. And there Jesus says something wonderful. I read from the NIV, NIV, I call it the NIV. I have told you, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you have peace. In this world you will have trouble or tribulations, some verses. But take heart. Some translations is tribulations. Maybe problems. But Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome the world. So, Jesus spoke about it. For you and me, we may have trouble, tribulations, suffering. And one day or another, we will go through moments of discouragement again, through suffering and adversity. And I'm sure you have, all of you, you have had moments that you experienced weakness, illness, suffering, adversity, loss. We all have gone through these moments of problem. And if you have never gone through it, you will, one day or another. This world is not without. And you may ask the question, but what do I do? When it occurs again, when the next storm is coming, because it's, the word storm is a good picture of that. Storms in our life. When the next storm is coming in my life, what do I do? And I believe the victory depends for a great deal on the attitude you will adopt during the adversity. And in a way, you may never be fully prepared for that. Because every problem is different. But it's a problem, a great problem for one person is not a great problem for another. And so on. A small problem may be a great problem for some people, and a great problem may be a small problem for another. But we all go through problems and storms. And the Christian has a promise, when you become a Christian, that through the Holy Spirit, the Lord's presence will be with you. He said, I will be with you till the end of the world. And I think that is such a wonderful thing. To the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. The Lord has promised to be with you till the end. It's for us to live it and to experience it. And what have we to do? To experience the presence of Jesus. Because we may have many wonderful promises, but I think there are three, four steps. We learn things. During the week, we learn things from messages Sunday morning. That's great. We learn it. And after that, I think we have to understand it, what we've learned. And after that, we have to retain it, which is not always an easy thing. And after that, we have to practice it. And if you don't practice what you've learned, you'll forget. So we need to learn to practice, practicing Christians, and there are a few. If I'm going to ask, I'm not going to ask you tomorrow because I'll not see you. But normally it does happen that when you ask Monday morning, what did you hear yesterday morning, Sunday morning, during the meeting in the message, they don't know even the subject. And I think we need to practice as soon as possible when we've heard something from God's word. You hear it, try to understand it, and if you have not understood it, you will not retain it. So you hear it, you understand it, you retain it, and then you practice it. And if you practice it, the more you practice. I'm a person who has to practice. I think nobody here can drive a car only because you have read a book about it and have never been behind the wheel. It's not possible. You cannot learn to play tennis from a book. No. You cannot learn playing the piano just from a book. You need to play the piano. You need to practice. So this morning we are going to consider some of these attitudes which can help us to obtain victory during suffering and problems in times of adversity, how to overcome. But first of all, it would be good to read the passage of Isaiah 40. Now, what is in Isaiah 40 that's so wonderful? Who can help me? What is in Isaiah 40 what is so wonderful about God and about the promise for you and me? I think the best thing is to open God's word. And so I'll start with reading some verses. And I saw them again this morning. And I read from Isaiah 40, verse 28, till the end. Do you not know? Have you not heard, the Lord said? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. No, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Verse 29, he gives strength to the weary, and young men stumble and fall, young women as well. But those who hope in the Lord, that is a promise, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. That was in the song. And that's why I was so touched, because that is just what I was going to speak about. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hallelujah! Yeah. Do you believe it?
Yes.
I experienced it. I may get older, I lose some teeth. I have lost some teeth. I lose less and less because they put some artificial teeth in it, and that's wonderful. I have all my teeth down below here, the first floor. And I may lose some hair, you too. And we may lose some sleep sometimes. We can't sleep well, and sometimes we're a little bit more tired. But the inner man, the heart is renewed. Hallelujah. For you and me. And I think Christians, we have something that the world doesn't have. We can be renewed and renewed and renewed. And we can soar like the eagle. And I'll speak a little bit about that. May help you. We see in the passage that without God we get tired, even being young. But he who trusts in the Lord will renew his strength, whatever his age or circumstances. What a wonderful promise. It is true that believers and unbelievers experience the same problem. Believer or not a believer, you'll have the same problem. You may share the same suffering, and we find ourselves in the same kind of adversity. But the other word, grace, present from God. The grace of God makes that the child of God can be victorious through all this. We are not without problems and without troubles, but through all this we can be victorious. I like that. We must know that the adversity does not always disappear, but we can come through it victorious. I would say victoriously, but it seemed to be victorious. My wife is a teacher and she helps me to be correct in English, which is not always easy. And I say, if I make a mistake, you may correct me, but not during the meeting, my love, after. She is wonderful, my dear Beryl. I am so glad I married her. I love Dutch girls, but I prefer the English. Don't tell them. Because you can only get married with one at once, but I've done well, I think. God is good. In Isaiah 40, the Lord gives us a picture of an eagle, and he invites us to follow the example and to mount up like an eagle. So why does God give us the picture of an eagle? That's the question I ask myself. Why does God use the picture of an eagle? Now, I've never seen an eagle. We live in the north of France. I've never seen an eagle there. Perhaps there are eagles in the Lake District, but I've not seen any. I've never seen an eagle in Salford. Well, God made the birds and he knows what an eagle is like. What can we learn from an eagle? I've seen eagles, but in the zoo. And I think also in wild, but I don't remember where. What can we learn from an eagle? In Proverbs 30, verse 18 and 19, the writer says that there are four things that are too wonderful for him and which he cannot understand. And one of these things being the way of an eagle in the sky. He doesn't understand that. So we may ask the question, what is so wonderful about an eagle that God takes his bird as an example? Now, I'll give you three interesting considerations, points about an eagle, what I've learned. It seemed to be that during the storm, the eagle mounts up higher and higher to a greater altitude. So our attitudes to a higher altitude. We're going to adopt it later. During a storm, the eagle mounts up higher and higher to a greater altitude. The strong wind gives him the power to mount up above the storm. So it doesn't go through it necessarily, but it goes above it. But the storm is there. From this higher position, it has a view over a larger space on Earth. And even in the air, it seemed to be, what I've read on the internet, that an eagle can see another eagle 30 miles away, especially when it is a female. I'm joking. The eagle can see higher and higher it goes. From this higher position, it has a view over a larger space, and with its sharp eyes, it can see its prey from very high in the sky. And from there, very high in the sky, vous savez, sometimes the French comes out, you know, it falls like a stone. 150 miles an hour. It comes down, bang, there on the prey. Now, the application. Every time I try to make an application, God bless you. Through the storms in our life, we can be pushed higher and higher and nearer to the presence of God, or the opposite. Can push you nearer to God, or the opposite. Some Christians even may blame God for certain things. They may not say it, but you feel it. But normally, it can help you to get the Lord better and better. This allows us to discover more about Lord Jesus. And I think that's what Paul desired in Philippians chapter 3. That was his only desire, to know him better. It's my desire. I hope it's yours. So, by knowing the Lord better, we know his will better later for our lives. Because of the storms in our life, we can learn to see our problems from God's point of view. And that makes all the difference. Beryl and me in France, we have had wonderful times of peace. Everything went smoothly. I've been to Bible school in Belgium, Brussels, and I've learned many things there. What I've not learned, how to cope with problems in churches. I found it out. Sur le tas, we say in French, while you're doing it. And every new person that comes to a church is a new problem as well. That's what we say in France. Brings problems because we have problems, but sometimes we idolize people too much. And when we get to know them, they have their problems, and we have to be ready to help. And we have gone through great problems sometimes. Some people were for years we were serving the Lord, and suddenly they changed, and they began to control, spirit of control. And Beryl and I just give them a quick illustration. My parents lived in the United States. My father, my mother, my brothers, and my sister had gone to the States. They became American. And I was the only son lived in Europe. I'm the eldest, two brothers and a sister. And once in 5 years, in that time, we visited our parents. My parents are in the United States. Once in 5 years, for 6 weeks. It's not too much. But we have had a meeting once that the lady said, it was the eldest lady, she said, you're not going for 6 weeks, that's too long. 3 weeks, that's sufficient. Spirit of control. They're going to tell you what to do. And we have not given in. And from that moment on, for months and months, you've had trouble with that couple. Later, much later, that couple went to another church. And the pastor of that church, who was my friend, was in agreement with them. So I lost also that pastor's confidence. And for months and months, I was sore inside. I said, how is it possible? We've not done anything wrong, because we still went 6 weeks. How is it possible? And I was sore inside, because it is if a family member suddenly leaves you alone. And then 20 years later, not so far away, only a few months ago perhaps, the Lord said, it was my doing. I have delivered you from them, because they had the controlling spirit. There were accusations. There was an accusation on me and a Beryl. Terrible accusations as well. Things that were not true. Spirit of accusation. And the Lord, later we see what he's doing, but we don't understand. And you may go through problems. You don't understand now. But later you say, oh, that's what the Lord wanted to do with me. And I think that makes all the difference. That's the first thing I like to say about it. We soar and soar higher, and then we learn. Second thing from an eagle, about an eagle. To mount up higher and higher, the eagle needs to position its wings in a certain angle. When it is very young, the eagle learns to spread its wings in the most efficient way to be able to fly above the storm. That's important. If it makes a mistake, it crashes down. It has to learn to position the wings in the right position. Application. The Lord wants to teach us, to teach you and me, to spread our wings, our spiritual wings, when a storm arrives in our life. That means in practice, we need to adopt a biblical attitude to overcome the adversity which may occur in our life. Otherwise, we may crash. I wrote this morning. We need to practice what we have learned from God's word. To position our wings. I said, that's what the Bible said. That's the verse. I've never practiced it. I knew it. But now we have to position our wings. So good attitudes matter. I have lived in a church where I was an elder. There were 450 people in the church and 150 young people. We were 600. It was like a village. I've been an elder there for years. And 1 year we had a great problem there between a man and a woman, a brother and a sister, about the worship group.
in the worship group.
And it went on for months and months and months, I think for 2 years. And then we had meetings with the leaders and the elders. We were about 20 in the group one evening. And we were talking about it, and we were praying together, and things seemed to be going so well. Hallelujah. I thought, now it is finished. And then one of these two got up again. I'm still sore inside. I'm still hurting. And it started again. I said, it's finished now. You cannot go on like that. And what did the others say? We need more fasting and prayer. And I do not agree. You have to obey. That God's word said. We don't need to pray and pray and pray sometimes. Obey God's word, which is much more difficult perhaps. Forgive. It's easy to pray and pray and pray. And if you don't obey God's word, no necessity to pray and pray and pray and fast and pray if you don't obey. The Lord asked obedience. And I've gone away since then from that church because it was too complicated. It has gone on for years, I think. Some people have problems and don't want to solve. They want to be right, dead right. And they're more dead than right sometimes. Third, the storm allows the eagle to fly further and further. When there's a storm, you can go further and further. Why? Because normally the eagle flies at a speed of 45 miles an hour. But when the storm occurs, it may reach a speed of 90 miles an hour. That's a lot. They may have a fine because they go too fast. It would be 70 miles, not 90. They go 90 miles an hour. Just by spreading its wings and without any effort. I like that. We, God's people, with the Holy Spirit, it's not effort. It's the Lord's effort in us. That has given me so much rest and peace. It's not what I'm always trying to do. The Lord is doing it in me and through me. Hallelujah. You spread my wings. What is that about? So just by spreading its wings and without any effort, goes further and further. This success does not depend only on the strength of the wind, but mostly from the largeness and the position of its wings. And you know, the eagle has enormous wings. 6 feet, more than 6 feet. That's enormous. All it needs is to adjust its wings to the right angle. Not many birds have wings like the eagle. So I like to make an application of that as well. The third point. The child of God has an advantage over the unbeliever because we Christians, we can spread our wings, the wings of faith. That's important. To use your faith. Even a childlike faith, but growing faith. Through faith, he or she can be close touch with the Lord. And thanks to the storm in his or her life, and thanks to the Holy Spirit, the Christian can make enormous progress. By the way, Holy Spirit, the word spirit in Hebrew is ruach, means wind. Go up like an eagle through the wind of the Spirit. I like that. He can make progress because, in spite of the difficulties and the adversity. In the approach of our Christian counseling, Beryl and me, we have done that for 20 years. So when we say Christian counseling, that means listen to people, pray with them, and help them to obey. To apply it, practice what the Bible says. That's what Christian counseling is about. And our aim is not to solve their problems. Our aim is to bring them to Christian maturity, that they may grow, get further, because of their problems. Thanks for the problems. They may not see it when they're in it, but we have seen some people have really been helped. That seems often the reason why the Lord allows this problem. It is like a trampoline. Suddenly they can go further. So, I would like to consider with you just for a few minutes which attitudes need to be adopted when adversity strikes you in your life so that you can make progress in your Christian walk. There are three or four. Which attitudes need to be adopted when adversity strikes you? I think the first attitude is not to be surprised and not to be knocked down when something hard happens in your life. We may be shaken, but we should not be shattered, not be destroyed. We don't always escape adversity, but God is always there to show us how to use it. And through that, God may give us a great surprise. We may learn things, and God may surprise us how great, how wonderful He is. It's easy to sing it on Sunday morning, but in practical life, have you discovered how wonderful God is? Adversity may come in many different shapes and forms. For instance, it could be relational, that you have problems with your family, with friends, something terrible happens. Your fiancé may leave you, or your wife, your husband. It may be emotional, it may be material, it may be financial, it may be spiritual. We all go through these kind of problems. It could happen in the family, it could happen in church, it could happen in your work. Often it happens in the physical realm. Often it happens in the physical realm, we know that. So the Bible tells us to pray for the sick and for those who suffer. And I would like to share with you quickly an experience we have had this year, only a few months ago. I'd heard about it, but I never practiced it. The elder with whom we work, his wife is Marie-Laurence, is her name. I learned on a Friday evening at a prayer meeting, I learned that she had often backache, and she was sore, and she was tired, and she hurt. And I said, Marie-Laurence, we can pray for you, and so I did. And I said, when did it start, that problem, when you had backache? And she said to me, it started when I was a young girl, 13, 14. And she told me that one leg was shorter than the other. And because of that, she was not walking as she should, and she had said pain and everything in her spine. It hurt. So now she's 53, 54. All these years she had been suffering with that. Saturday and Sunday, the Lord spoke to me during the night. And what the Lord said to me, more or less, John, do you dare to pray for her that the legs will be straightened out, that the legs will be the same length? On Sunday morning, during the meeting. And I spoke to Beryl about it. I said, it's not my turn to preach. Somebody else come from outside. But it's very strange. The Lord is challenging me. Do I have a childlike faith to pray for her, for healing? So, it was full. No seat was free. All the seats were taken. The end of the meeting, I came forward. I was asked forward to pray for one or two people there, and then I stayed there. I said, I have just a question. Marie-Laurence, would you like that I pray for you this morning? Yes, she said. I said, I need a chair. Is somebody offering a chair so the chair came there? I said to these people there, believers, I said, do you believe that God heals? Yes, they said. Do you believe that God heals here in this place? Yes, they said. Do you believe that God heals now, this morning? Yes, they said. Said, now then we're going to pray. For those who like to see it, come forward. I asked them to come forward. Now one or two people stood there. They were very polite, very timid and shy perhaps. But those who came saw it. I said, I'm going to pray for you, Marie-Laurence. And I said in my prayer something like that. Lord, I don't need to shout. I don't need to pray a long time. But Marie-Laurence has one leg that's shorter than the other. Make it straight this morning. And it just went like that. And then became a little bit longer than the other. I said, no, Lord, same. And it just happened there and then. Hallelujah. And it strengthened my faith so much that what God said, do we dare to practice it? Then a lady came to visit us for Christian counseling on Tuesday. She came from about 20, 30 miles. And I spoke to her about it. I said, you know, it's wonderful what the Lord is doing. Last Sunday, the Lord honored my faith. And I told her that story. And then she said, because she came for her son who was in mental hospital, needed prayer. And so she came not for herself, but she came to visit for an hour to pray for her family. So then she said, before we did this Christian counseling and praying, she said, I have the same problem. I have a leg that is shorter than the other, years and years, and I suffer with that. I said, okay. And I left it like that. I never said anything else. Marilinda is her name. Teacher, high school. And then it was over, the counseling was over. I said, Marilinda, I'd like to ask you, would you like that I pray for you, for your legs, that you would have the same length? Yes, she said. I said, put your boots off. I said, Beryl, come, because Beryl had not seen the first. I said, Beryl, come, see. And the same thing happened. And I said the same thing in my prayer. I said, Lord, I don't need to pray a long time. I don't need to shout. You can do it here. Do it here this afternoon in our house. Hallelujah. Just happened there and then. In 3 days' time, Sunday, now it was Tuesday. For two different people. And the Lord strengthened my faith. It was like an eagle. I could higher and higher and saw the Lord doing things. Do you dare by faith? Or is it only mental? It's for the first time in my life that I experienced something like that. And I think it was so wonderful to see God honoring. Do you dare to pray for things you have never prayed for before? For people you have never prayed for before. I think God honors our faith in such a wonderful way. Now then, there is a second attitude we need to adopt. Is that we do not always know the relationship between cause and effect. It's easy to judge sometimes. But the Lord says to us, do not judge, but discern. We need discernment more, spiritual discernment. The Lord's disciples, when they were with him, Jesus troubled the Lord. And the Lord's disciples had a tendency to judge. They did not have always that spiritual discernment. And once, there was a crowd of people, certainly, and the Lord saw just one person. And he was blind. He saw, in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, he saw one person. And then the Lord spoke to him a little bit, to his disciples, and said, more or less, if he's blind, it comes down to that, then it must be that he has sinned. Or his parents, perhaps. And the Lord said, not his parents, not himself, but that the glory of God may be manifested. John chapter 9. And the Lord healed him. And I think we have the tendency sometimes to say, oh, if he is like that, or if she is like that, that problem, there must be something, and then begin to judge. And it's very, very dangerous. And we see the same in Luke 13. And the Lord Jesus speaks about 18 people who were killed because a tower fell on them. He said they were not greater sinners than the others. And we have to be very careful. Cause and effect. Sometimes we have the tendency. There's a third attitude. Be willing to learn through adversity. Be willing to learn in times of difficulties. The greatest lessons I've written down in life, the greatest lessons are learned through adversity. So the best question is not why does it happen, but what can we learn from what is happening to us? Is it wonderful that our Father God knows us through and through, and he knows what is good for us, and also what we can endure? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 speaks about. And in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 says, 7 times the righteous may fall, but he will always get up again. That's a wonderful promise as well. So thanks be to God, his children can be always victorious over adversity. And Beryl and me, we discovered that verse again in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, where we read, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. And now I would like to read with you just a few verses in Philippians, that Paul had to learn it to be victorious in all circumstances. You know it, but it has been so wonderful for me because with God's help, I put to music 300 passages from God's word in the French language. 300 songs I wrote. The whole book of Jonah put to music. It was like an opera, God's help. We did musicals together, Beryl and me. She wrote the script and I did the music. And I put to music Philippians 4, verse 13, 40 years ago, perhaps even 45. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I never took it much in the context. When you see, it's easy to sing it and to say it. But when you take the context, it is just wonderful. I'd like to read it to you. How he learned, and so we can learn. How did he learn? I can do all things. Verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord, Paul said, that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content. I like that sentence. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Children of God. People of God. Church of God this morning. One of the craziest things in your life, which is precious, which is the most important perhaps on this earth, is to learn to be content, because the world is not content. Groaning about this and groaning about that, murmuring about this, murmuring about that. There are few people in this world content, and even in the church, the Christian world. To learn to be content with what you have got. And when Beryl and I, we set out to France, we have learned to be content with what we had. We lived for years in two little rooms, small rooms, in an attic. And it was only 13, 14 degrees in wintertime, not more. And our baby was born there. And we never asked questions. We never grumbled about it. There was not even a toilet there. You had to go three floors down. You learn, we did not come for ourselves. We came for the Lord. We never thought about it even. The rent was a little bit difficult because that was 125 francs per 3 months. That was less than a pound a week. That's what you paid the rent in that time. And I went out every morning at 8 o'clock and I came back at 8 o'clock because in that time we started a Christian bookshop, which still goes after 40, 45 years. And I was with these people in long face. It was not such a long time ago that we learned that song again. Don't have a face like a coffee pot. Coffee pot. Coffee pots are long and thin. You must have a face like a teapot, or the souls to Jesus bring. I learned it in England from your family, Beryl. To learn to be content. So what did she say? Paul, I like that very much. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well, fed, or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And I think that's the lesson to learn. It's only through Christ we learn it. It's not from other people. It's not because you have a happy temperament. It's something we have to learn to be content with, because Jesus knows our needs and he knows where we are and he knows where we're going. He knows everything. Lord, my life, my destiny is in your hands. This is a psalm. This is wonderful. That's always helped us so much. Lord, you know what we need. You take care. And so you have to learn many things, and so have you, so have me. Many people have started like that. When I talked with them, said, you have a nice house, yes, but it was not always like that. We were poor in the beginning, but they don't say the word poor, but it was difficult. And some of you were there and know where you come from, but the Lord has helped you. And I say in France, about Mount Chapel and all this, there were people who were poor before. They were lived in poor areas, poor animals, they had no car, they had nothing practically. But when you become a Christian, you're going to start to live in another way. You don't waste your money on cigarettes, you don't waste your money on booze. Is that the right word? It's a good Christian word. So, now the fourth attitude we need to adopt is to consider ourselves as pilgrims. This world of ours is not an eternal abode. We'll not be here always. In the world, people they build palaces and they build houses and they change this and change that, and they think to be here for 1,000 years. We will be here for 1,000 years, but they don't. If they don't believe. This is well expressed in the song, "This world is not our home. I'm just a passing through." But to go to heaven should not be the main reason to become a Christian. When I was a little child, I was born in a family with my mother. My mother was Catholic and my father was Protestant. They were not Christians, but they were religious, Catholic, Protestant. And when I was a little boy, my mother taught me a little prayer, which I'd always to say before I was going to sleep. I was only 2 or 3 years old. And it went like that, more or less. Lord, now I'm going to sleep. Nice for a little child. And if I'm going to die during this night, may I go to heaven then? Lord, I'm going to sleep now. And if I'm going to die, may I go to heaven? And that's all what I thought was Christianity was about, going to heaven. not very clear for a child to learn that. When I was 21, I became a Christian. And my parents started to go to an evangelical church. And they were saved when they went to the United States when they were in the 50s. They were 54, 55, they were baptized in the Christian Brethren Assembly. I didn't know. It's amazing how the Lord has his way. I was the first saved in my family. And then my sister, she married a pastor in the United States, and then my parents were saved. I have two brothers who are not saved. It's not because you are saved, automatically the whole family. It's a burden for us. We've talked with some people about it. Continue to pray. But it should not be a burden for you. Give it to the Lord. It's his doing. Hallelujah. I've nearly finished. I take the conclusion, finish off. I hope you've understood till now what I've said in broken English. I do my best. Don't shoot at the pianist. I play the piano, but don't shoot me. There we go. Just as a conclusion. In the meantime, here on earth, they are not in heaven yet, we have a powerful promise from God's word. In Romans 8, verse 28. In all things, God works for good of those who love him. Or all things work together for good for those who love him. It's always a good verse there. Often it happens through adversity. And you may ask, why? Why does it happen? God allows it for at least four reasons. And that is just the end of my message. First of all, to allow us to know him better. To know him better. In a deeper way. And I think about Job. Some people have spoken about Job this week, I think. Job had many, many problems. He lost many things. He lost his children, he lost his goods, he lost his cattle, he lost his health. What did he not lose? He had a nice wife, very spiritual woman. But she went also through depression. She said one day to Job, just curse your God, leave it all alone. Very nice of a wife like that, but not very helpful. God lost everything. But what does he say at the end of his life? Or when he got better, because the Lord restored him. He said something wonderful that always has touched me. He said, my ear heard about you, but now my eye has seen you. You can hear, but do you see? I have seen the Lord working. When I spoke, and I'll tell you that, when I spoke with my brother Fred, who came from the United States in the beginning of the year, about these two ladies who were healed. And by the way, one of these ladies said, it is still going on, John. I feel well. I feel much better. Because sometimes you think spur of the moment. And but she testifies, what? She's healed. She said, when I stand now for the mirror, I'm straight. Before I was like that. And my brother Fred came over from the United States. He's not a Christian. And together went to Paris. Because in the beginning of the year, he went alone. So I went with him. I live in France. For 2 or 3 days. It was very cold. And I became very ill. For 2 or 3 weeks I was in bed with bronchitis. I was very ill after. But he doesn't know. I never told him. And Fred, at the end of the day of the holiday here in France, he was going to fly off back to the United States, and we had breakfast together on a Friday morning. I said, Fred, he's a lovely house. There's many things. Very rich man. I said, you may have many things on the earth, but the most important, if you don't have Jesus in your life. He said, you know, I don't like to speak about that. Don't talk about that, he said. I have a direct line with God. I said, oh, so you pray. Yes, I said, I pray also. I said, but do you have answers to your prayer? Do you see God? Do you see God? And then I told him that what God had done in answer for these two ladies. I said, God heard my prayer. I saw it. God heard my prayer. Not only that I prayed, God answered. He became so furious. He became so angry with me. He said, you pray for these women who are not in your family. And your sister-in-law, my brother is married to a lady who has a problem also. And you leave her like that and you don't pray for her. I said, I would pray if she asked me for prayer. But he did not understand anything. It was difficult. I was sore inside after because he left me like that. He was not ready yet. So if you have in your family people like that, continue to love them. Just love them, love them, love them. Just love them. God's love through you. So the first thing is to know him better. Second, to make spiritual progress in advance. And I think about Joseph. They put him in a pit.
He was rejected by his brothers. He went in the family there. He was falsely accused. Potiphar's wife. She was not very, very smart. And then falsely accused. What happened is threw him in prison. And when he was in prison, he gave some indications what God showed him about the dreams. And then he was forgotten. One thing after another. Rejected. Put in a pit. He was sold. He was falsely accused. He was put in prison and forgotten. And then the Lord restored him. And he became the prime minister. He became David, prime minister. The prime minister started with David, no? David Joseph. And the Lord made him a savior for his own family. Because there was famine. That's wonderful, isn't it? But he had to go through it. He didn't know later he saw it. Third, to produce more spiritual fruit. Why are we going for fruit? To allow us to bear more spiritual fruit. And I think about Paul and Silas. They had just done something wonderful. They had healed this young lady. She had an evil spirit. Paul did a wonderful thing, but he was thrown in prison with his mate, with Silas. And instead of complaining, Lord, look, we have healed, and now the throw is in prison. Instead of that, they were praising God's word, praising God's wonderful name at midnight. Here, when I'm in England, I've been in some families, at midnight people phone them. I've never understood that, how people dare to phone you at 12:45. I've heard of something. Oh, no. But they were praising the Lord at midnight. So much that God was happy, and God started to dance, and there was an earthquake, and everybody could have gone out, but they didn't. And Paul and Silas became instruments to save that family there, the jailer and his wife. Isn't that wonderful? Because they made through trouble. They could have said, look what the Lord's doing, look. That's one of the worst things, because when you go to jail, mostly it will be written down and to get it... after that don't judge you for that. That's difficult. Fourth, to show compassion is my last thing. To allow us to be able to show God's compassion to others. And I read just this. Praise be to God, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, 4, 5. Praise be to God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. And that's what we have also experienced. The trouble we have had, the problems we may have had. Father, praise be to God. And Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us to comfort others. So, I pray that the Lord will bless you when you pass through adversity and show himself through you. I typed it in France. May the Lord bless you in that. May you practice it. May you experience that the Lord is going to do in you and through you, in your family, new things you did not dream of. Because God is greater than your dreams. He's greater than your thoughts. Are you willing? Are you just like a child said, Lord, now I like to practice what I've learned. Perhaps in Sunday school, perhaps during the meeting. It's better to retain just one verse and practice it than to have a great knowledge and never practice it. We have sometimes Christians, they have enormous heads, but very small feet. They don't walk much. And then they fall down. Yeah, it's not the knowledge. It's the practice. It's better to have small knowledge and practice it than a lot of knowledge and that verse is there and that means this and that and they don't practice. The Lord said, walk. Disciples is somebody who follows. So I'd like to pray with you just to finish. Is it okay? Yeah. Can you stand up? Will you stand up, please? Father in heaven, I have tried to, with your help, I've tried to pass on, Lord, what you've shown me for my brothers and sisters here, for your church. And it's a wonderful thing for me to know that you build a church. You build your church. And nobody can go against that, Lord. It's your church. And I pray that
my brothers and sisters in this church, Lord, may know you better. May soar up, Lord, like you've sung, like eagles, Lord. To see their lives and see the lives of others from your point of view. And it changes everything. May they go faster, Lord, because the time is short. You're coming soon. Faster and faster because of problems sometimes. Higher and higher and faster and faster. And further and further. May they receive that power from the Holy Spirit to witness, Lord. That courage that comes from above. Thank you, Lord, for each one this morning, Lord. And I pray that my brothers and sisters may not only hear it, but retain it and practice it. And become more and more like Jesus. And that's my prayer, Lord, for myself, for Beryl. May we become more and more like Jesus. Yes. It's not John, it's not Beryl, it's Jesus for us. Amen. So may your blessing be upon each one of us, Lord. Touch our souls, our bodies, our spirits. And if there is somebody here, Lord, this morning, who needs healing for his body, you can touch him this morning and make him whole. I believe that. With all my heart. If somebody's suffering, Lord, in his soul, you can make that person better this morning and heal his soul. Yes. If somebody is hurting in his spirit, Lord, maybe a spiritual problem, you can heal him and heal her this morning. You can heal perfectly, Lord. That's impossible for our doctors. You can do it because you're the great physician. Yeah. You have not changed. Do you believe it, church? Do you believe what I pray?
Yes.
Do you believe that God can do it for you? Yes. Hallelujah. We give you thanks, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you for this hour, your hour, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.